this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing more than fine, sir. 3 points against Spurs. Big match for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He delivers as per the usual. 6-6. Ecstatic. Buzzing, mate.
Massive result. Massive win. Huge performance from the boys. I wasn't sure we were going to gun it out, but De Gea, dude. De Gea is a game changer. Best goalie in the world. Best player on our team. Eddie, sign him up. Give him more money. Whatever he wants. Give it to him.
That man. Pay that Spaniard. He might not shave. He makes it look good.
Doesn't need to.
Needs lots of cheddar, sir. I remember he came to Manchester United. He was stealing donuts out of a grocery store a couple years later.
What do you know? Now
a couple years later, world number one. Nobody's talking about the time he lifted donuts? Some donuts.
David Donut. Anyway, he's making saves like that. Just lights out. 11 saves in the second half. Kept us in the game. Won us the game. Nothing more to say about David De Gea.
That United defense is tough on the heart, I will have to say. My blood pressure through the roof. I think we need to sign a center back, Ed Woodward.
I think.
The work is right in front of you. Need some defenders. Pay that man. Let's jump into the lineup, sir. It was a doozy. We had Dave saves in net. Ashley Young, Lindelof, Jones, and Shaw at the back. We had Matic, Herrera, Pogba, Lingard, Martial, and Rashford playing a 4-1-2-1-2, sir. Diamond midfield, false nine. Ole, busting out the tactics, mate. How'd you feel about that lineup?
Called this team. Excited to see it. Good to see some continuity. Same lineup, you know, like too much switching around with Mourinho. Now, I think Ole knows who his starting 11 is, especially the front six is like bang on. Back four will move a little bit based on who's available. But this is the team. This is the best we got. Let's go out and do the job against Spurs at Wembley, a.k.a. our second home.
I like the lineup. I didn't see the formation coming right away. Clearly, we knew we were going to go for the jugular at Wembley. Not really Tottenham's home. We beat them last time. We played there in the FA Cup semifinals. But it came down to one man, and that was Paul Pogba. Could he step up under the lights? I think he was quoted before the match talking about how that 3-0 at home really got to him, and he was thinking about it. When I heard that quote, I knew Paul Pogba would deliver. It was a hell of a match, and, you know, the big man stepping up.
He did. He had a huge performance, especially in the first half. He was really, I mean, he was, like, unplayable, as was Rashford in that first half. He cooled off a little bit. I think he got a little tired in the second half, but I also think Spurs were actually, they were top-notch, and it was just heroics from David De Gea, making us look good, keeping us in the game, giving us a clean sheet, back-to-back clean sheets, and getting us all 3 points against Spurs, who were flying, and just they got to be reminded who the hell we are. We are the famous Manchester United, bro.
And we were going to Wembley. I had the cojones to start De Gea on my fantasy team. I reaped the rewards. Let's jump in.
You and me both, brother.
First
you and me both.
Half, game starts wide open, but United are looking threatening on the counter. You could clearly tell at this point these were the tactics. Ole, McKenna, and Carrick on the sideline. Mike Phelan, you know, getting the boys some good training in Dubai. But again, tactical masterclass in the first half from Ole and the boys. What'd you think about how he set up? Was that the right way to go at Spurs?
I thought the best we looked was in the first half, and that was when we were effectively pushing off the high press, which was really good because they were making a lot of mistakes and giving the ball away, actually pretty cheaply, which with our speed, dude, we could burn any team, and we showed that. We had a bunch of good chances.
Martial, Rashford, Lingard running the channels.
Pogba. Pogba
was
pretty quick.
On. Yeah. Pogba, he had a few. He had a few chances. We probably should have scored, but Spurs had some chances right from the jump. Rashford had one on his left foot in the 11th minute, and then in the 30th, Kane, he breaks the deadlock. At least we thought so. Whistled off sides, but Trippier did play in a nice ball towards the
not
back
so fast.
Post.
Not so fast.
I hear, like, the one thing we couldn't do is we couldn't let up that early goal against Spurs. And this, my heart sank. I thought we had done what we couldn't do, which was we came out, we played well, we looked to hit them on the jump, didn't really have that final product, and then they hit us with an easy goal. Something that in the second half, they're playing much more like this. And Kane, you know, offsides, mate.
Yeah, and this would have been like slightly unfair because we were playing quite well in the first half. And they had a couple chances. It was pretty open. I mean, it was back and forth stuff for most of the first 30 minutes. But this was a little, I was a little dejected. I thought it went in. I was like, ah. But this might have changed the game differently, right? We might have had to go for it even more so if they had gotten the early goal. But it wasn't meant to be.
And remember, no VAR here. It was close.
Not yet. It's coming.
It was close, but it's going to come, and these calls are going to get a lot more complicated, so let's just be glad. It's offsides, and there's no review. 40th minute, Sissoko, he pulls up. I want to say it's a groin or a hammy. He was running down the wing.
Hard to say.
Just, like, hits the deck. Then, for some reason, he kind of gets off the field, then comes back on, and then immediately, like, lies down in their
box.
When
we have the ball, right? When we're, like, in the final third.
So, Martial, basically, Sissoko goes down again after he came on after a minute. Who knows why they let him back on the field? He should have been subbed out. Goes down. At this point, Martial's like, you know, screw it, mate. I'm going to go for a goal. He kind of tries to take his chance. Trippier takes a tackle, kicks it out of bounds, and gets in Martial's face. The one thing I know about mean mugging Martial is don't get in that man's face. Push and match, sir.
Ooh, he looked big next to Trippier, and he wasn't smiling, bro. He wasn't smiling like he was down in Dubai. He was just like mean mugging. Good.
That's that French man fronting right
Dude,
there.
Dude, you could see it in, I mean, all the players' eyes, especially the United players. They wanted to win this game. It was like on their faces. They were giving everything they had. Maybe even too much so. It seems like we like blew the juice in the first half because we looked gassed for a team in the second half after being in Dubai and doing training.
Hard to know if Dubai is going to help us, you know, be fresh, you know. It would help, but I do think a hard week of training plus the travel, that could be a reason why we gassed, but
point.
I totally agree. You know, it looked like it was go nil-nil at half. And then
Fair result in the first half.
Sir, and then in the 45th minute.
Anyways, it looked likely to be cut out, and it was by Lingard. Pogba, that's a tremendous ball. Rashford here for Manchester United. 1-0. Brilliant finish by Rashford. Superbly found by Pogba. But Tottenham simply gave Lingard the ball and have paid the penalty. Manchester United in front of Wembley. Trippier easily cut out by Lingard. How about that for a ball from Pogba? Rashford still has an awful lot to do here, but he did it wonderfully well, and Manchester United lead in the final moments of the first half. Tremendous finish. Tremendous finish.
Amazing goal for Marcus Rashford. I mean, counter-attack. You couldn't draw it up any better. You saw Pogba hit that world-class pass, and Rashford just does it. He had a lot to do with the ball, like the announcer said, but man, when you saw the shot of the bench and you see Ole try to hold it together and Carrick and McKenna lose their shit, you know that that was tactics. They saw something, their fullbacks getting too far up, and to basically switch the play to the other side of the field on the counter, and it worked. They hit him with the goal. Rashford, world-class finish.
Dude, it starts off from effectively doing the high press, right? Jesse with a great pickoff, gets the ball to Pogba. Pogba takes two touches and then just like waits in a perfect pass to Rashford, who is just streaming. Vertonghen's got no chance, bro, keeping up with red hot Rashford. And one touch and he shoots it while he still has the angle on his side. And dude, world class finish. I mean,
Lloris could have been in a better position.
He could have, but it was still a perfect finish for where the goalie was and how much space he had and the angle he had. That you hit the post and go in. It's hard to save.
Hey, I'm not going to call it amazing goal on Marcus Rashford. We were buzzing, going crazy. Clearly, I was excited. Huge United fan as well. You know, I might have bet on +263. So excited
money,
for a result.
Sir.
All the friends on the text thread, all the, you know, Chelsea, the Everton fans, even the Arsenal fans saying, oh, they're not going to win. That's a terrible bet. Hey, you never know. 1-0 going in at half, sir. How are you feeling? Pumped? Do you think we could pull it out based on the first 45?
Sir, I thought if we kept playing like we played in the first half, it was ours to win.
I felt very comfortable.
So did I.
But we wouldn't be comfortable at all.
Changed. It's like night and day.
Before we get to the second half, this is the first time we're going to do this on the American Red Devils podcast. We have actually reached out to supporters clubs throughout the United States, asked them to record some live feedback at the bar, hear from you guys, the American Red Devils, on the road. So we're going to jump in and check with the Seattle Red Army.
What up?
Shout
what
out
up?
To Jeremy Brown, the club chairman, who recorded these audio clips at halftime. Here we go, Seattle.
What's your full name?
Felix Starikov.
How long you been a United fan?
Since I was 7, so I would say 18 years.
Nice, nice. So if the game ends right now, match is over, 1-0 United, how do you feel about the match?
I would say I wish they attacked a little bit more, but they defended really well, and the chemistry is there. Ole's doing a great job, so you know, I think we should keep it up. As long as he's winning, we shouldn't think of getting another coach.
Quality. Cheers. Glory, glory.
My name is Paul Greenwood, otherwise known as the Godfather.
Paul, how long have you been a United fan?
Since I was, 11.
Quality.
Tommy says 90 years, but right. I haven't missed a live Manchester United match in 52 years, thank you.
So right now, United is up 1-0. If the match ends right now, how do you feel about the match today? What's your take?
I think confidence is back. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a miracle worker, and we don't need Pochettino. We just need David De Gea.
Quality. Glory, glory.
Raghav Tripathi.
How long have you been a United fan?
Oh, like 2003.
So if the match ends right now, 1-0, right. How do you feel?
Oh, elated. Like, nothing better can happen right now. Like, seriously. Winning at Wembley, like, there's nothing else.
Solskjaer or Pochettino? Who's the next coach?
Solskjaer. Like, keep him on.
Love it. Quality.
Quality from the Seattle Red Army. Again, thanks to Jeremy Brown for recording those clips. Love to have a few dark L's with the Godfather.
Shout out to the Godfather with the same appreciation for correct pronunciation as myself.
Pochettino, man.
Pochettino.
Pochettino.
Glory, glory all the way, boys. Sending your best to Seattle. Oh, I couldn't agree with everyone more, dude. It's like Ole. I'm on the Ole train. This guy's still got to be convinced, but everybody in Seattle certainly felt so in the first half.
Sir, there's a lot of hype on that hype train, and someone's got to cool it down. I don't want to be the cooler, but you got to look at the big picture for Manchester United. Pochettino could be the solution for 10, 15 years. Ole's definitely got the boys kicking him. He's got to win some silverware. He's got to make top four. Let's just see how the second half goes.
Time will
tell.
I'm
not being a skeptical hippo, just like calling it like I see it. Balls and strikes.
We got a
second half, mate. Second half. Oh, man, this did not go how he wanted it. Spurs came out rip-roaring. They made the adjustment. Pochettino, essentially, he had to make a sub for the injury for, what was it, Sissoko?
Yeah, Dyer came on.
Dyer came on, and boy, did it shore things up for Tottenham, and it just came down to the Dave Saves Show. Sir, 48th minute, De Gea, amazing save against Harry Kane. It was a wonderful move by Tottenham, who was carved open the United defense. Way too easy. Dele Alli fizzed a cute pass into the striker, who had intricate play with Son. Kane eludes Phil Jones. Not too hard to do. But a brilliant stop by De Gea. And even better positioning on this than the goal that Rashford scored. And De Gea gets big, uses his feet. Easy as you like.
He's the best in the world at that. He's the best in the world at positioning himself, shutting down the angle, and just holding the line, dude. Like, straight up William Wallace style. Like, hold. Hold. But that's the difference, because if you hold it, you cut down the angle, and you don't do what the striker wants you to do, which is to come out and give him more space to go around you. And this is, we're only going to do it a couple times, because if we broke down every good chance and saved a hand to make, we spend the whole pod talking about Spurs and their chances, sir.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys have seen them all. 49th minute. A minute later, another Dave Saves. We're going to hashtag Dave Saves there. 55th minute. Great chance from Paul Pogba. It seems like he was doing everything on his own here. Pogba follows up on his own shot, rampaging through through on goal after his initial shot was blocked by Alderweireld. He tried to get his toe to it, almost pipped it over Lloris, but Lloris got his hand to it over the net. Amazing stuff by Paul Pogba, literally carrying the team on his back, looking for that kill shot. We did not get it. Lloris up to the task here. Did not choke.
He had a good game as well, actually. He had some good saves in this game. But Pogba was trying to kill the game. You could tell. He was just like, if I pull the game, maybe we can put McTominay in early.
But that's where you want to see him. You want to see him
in the box, bro.
Marauding into the box. You know, he's a beast. No one can stop him. The defenders are all over the place. This is so close to a goal here.
Like
again,
LeBron,
would have been the kill
like LeBron,
shot. Exactly
like,
what we need.
Just run into the box.
And that's what we needed. You could tell Pogba looked tired. He did, after this, tired. A lot of yipping, maybe a little yogging, some attitude from the Frenchman. But, you know, he did hold it together. And at the end of the day, 3 points, all that matters. 58th minute, hashtag Dave Saves, another one from the Kane header. We're going to just call it that. 61st minute, another Pogba shot. Martial dribbles past Trippier. He just holds up the ball. I kind of got mixed up in his feet. He held up the ball, picked his head up, saw Pogba, pinged it. Pass in. Pogba, quick shot, deflected off the defender, and Lloris up to the task, made a great save. Again, this could have killed it too. So in 5 minutes, two great chances from Paul Pogba.
Yeah, especially when Spurs were having the better of it. You know, it was good to still see us. We're still good on the counter. Ole's definitely set his team up that way. But we would have loved to see Paul bury one of these. Definitely.
But
we
don't
the
get
up.
These. Changes you pay. Every, you pay at the back.
The last
right?
20 minutes were nerdy.
Yeah, 65th minute. Hashtag Dave saves. This time on Dele Alli. See ya, mate. 70th minute, another amazing save. This from the corner. Alderweireld gets a hold of the corner on the near post and should have put it in the net. De Gea again, kick save in a beaut, as we'll call it, from ice hockey. Using his feet, the Spaniard really changing the goalkeeper position here, making it look just too easy. He makes it look easy. That's the issue with these saves. People are freaking out who know a little more, know De Gea, but some people are like, oh, he didn't have to do much. Why is everyone making a big deal? It's like his positioning is on point, makes it look easy.
People that say that don't know shit, bro. What are you talking about?
There's some riffraff out there.
There's some riffraff out there. Like chirping. Thinks, I'm sure they are, bro. But this goalie performance was like he was on fire, bro, in NBA jams. Just like unbelievable stuff. Because it starts getting into the strikers' heads. Like, can he be beat? Can we beat him today? And he already has an aura, right? Everybody knows how good De Gea is. But when you see him in this type of form, I'm not even gonna acknowledge the hater bullshit. I'm not even gonna get into that because that's just absurd. But he was just like, boo, like left foot, right foot, left arm. It was just like I'd never seen a performance like that from a goalie. Dave is
well,
the best.
It's like
dude.
Arsenal.
Best goalie
he did
you
do
ask
it.
For.
He did do it against Arsenal. I
but
saw
this
that.
Is even more chances than the Arsenal game.
Yeah, I will say the save, the double save in Arsenal, I think was harder. But this was probably just a masterclass, all around masterclass, and then clean sheet. You know, but the Arsenal that one kick save on Sanchez when he did play for Arsenal
it was unbelievable. Was, but this was from insane. Open play. This was from corners. This was from. I mean, he was just like he was unstoppable.
Unstoppable. Hey. 71st minute, minute later, hashtag Dave saves, free kick from Harry Kane. 73rd minute, sub Lukaku on for Martial. I thought Martial kind of went missing. I thought that was a good sub from Ole. 74th minute, hashtag Dave saves on Dele Alli again. Count them. And then 83rd minute, Delo on for Lingard. I thought this was an interesting sub. Clearly, the one thing I noted at this point in the game was, you know, Fellaini's not on the bench.
Where's Fellaini?
And I was a Fellaini hater, but then he ended up playing. Sir. He did a good job under Mourinho in certain situations, and he would come on and kill games, set pieces. He's got size. He's good in the midfield, physical. I thought we should have him on the bench for this role, right? 75th minute put on Fellaini.
I disagree.
Right?
I mean, we were calling out for it. This is when you want a little midfield reinforcement. You pull off a Lingard, and you put on someone that can kind of break up play, someone that could add a little more height into the box. But Delo,
I mean, he's got to be a better choice than Delo, right? You might not like him, but Fellaini coming on for Lingard in this situation is better than Delo coming on for Lingard.
No doubt.
Right? So that's my only critique against Ole was that.
I agree. I was feeling the same way. I was like, you could really use a Fellaini right now, right? You have a one-goal lead. I don't think they were expecting to be in that position. They were going there with an attacking-minded team, right? Having Mata and Piera on the bench. You could use a Fellaini.
Yeah, the one critique is that we've never needed to close down the leads.
No, that's
this
true.
Entire year.
We're always just fighting for it at the last minute.
We've never set up a team to close down a lead, right? And so this is part of that strategy. And to see Ole not like Fellaini so much where he's not going to have him on the bench, not even going to have him for this option, I thought was interesting. And the only critique I can see, clearly he's going to leave, right? Fellaini's going to go. But at the same time, you need a midfielder you can bring on that can help you ice the game. I thought he'd been perfect. Either way, I did not get my wish. And in the 86th minute.
Son Heung-min. Dele Alli. Towards Llorente. Did well. Kane! Heard it all before. De Gea in the way. But it's extraordinary how many of the saves he's made today he's made with his feet.
Again, hashtag Dave says, unbelievable, mate. We might as well anoint him the king of Manchester for the time being. Anything we could do to get him to stay, pay that man, Eddie Woodward.
What do you need, man? We'll give you an avenue. We'll give you a square. I mean, I'm sure we could talk to some big wigs down in like Manchester Town Hall. We can get something named after you, David.
I think a P-Jet. P-Jet would be better than a park in Manchester. I don't know.
Get
what
him a P-Jet. He already has a P-Jet. But he was just, I mean, you posted this on Twitter. We were watching the replay of this, of his saves, and I was just like laughing. I mean, the saves were ridiculous, bro, watching them all one after another.
Yeah, no, it was unbelievable, and my heart stopped every time he had to make a save. Last bit of the game, 92nd minute, sub McTominay on for Pogba, close it out. Mike Dean, going to give a shout-out to Mike Dean for, you know, just letting the game go a little too long at stoppage time there, Mike Dean. You should have blew the whistle after that. I think Spurs had a corner, went out of bounds, and he lets it go again. It's like, Mike Dean, I knew that was a little shady. I was like, easy, bro.
There was a little shithousery from our boy Herrera just doing what he does best.
Yeah,
it's like 91st minute, it just hits down. He's like, oh, hamstring's going.
I love those are the intangibles, right? You have the cheeky Spaniard on the field who's like, he's like stoppage time, immediately goes down, starts rubbing his leg like really too fast. You know, it's like crunch.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, he's just like gritting his teeth. You know,
that's why he's getting a new contract. That's why he's getting a new contract, man.
Yeah, like the cheeky Spaniard is great. Good to see Herrera in good favor at Manchester United. Great United player, but again, that last 30 minutes in this match, I will have to tell you, like as much as this win meant so much. I mean, to me, to all American Red Devils and Manchester United fans around the world, what this did for my day. I mean, my wife says, hey, you're a different person when Manchester United win.
Especially like that,
sir. It's
been
amazing. And you know, I hit my Manchester United win bet, prove all the haters wrong, get to start tweeting, starting some shit online, having a great day, enjoying the 3 points, basking in the glory, 6-6 from Ole. Things are amazing right now at Manchester United. How could this have happened? Mourinho, the Grinch, you know, all the clouds over the club, and then now, you know, the...
Sir, all of the cliches are only cliches because they're true, bro. And the thing is, we said this like a month ago, is like, we were in the ex-girlfriend doldrums, bro, just like dying every single day and hating
it's
ourselves.
It's only darkest before the dawn,
it's always
right?
darkest before what the dawn, Bane bro. Say? We literally said like 6 weeks ago, and look at it now. Six games on the trot. Ole has brought positivity back to United. Ole has brought the Manchester United way back to Old Trafford. And he's instilling some of this like old school Fergie way, Busby way that a lot of the players don't know about, right? Because they never played under Fergie. He is bringing that back. And the fans are buzzing, mate. Buzzing. Because yesterday, it was a beautiful day, bro. It could have rained all day. First sunny day in a week, but it could have rained all day and it would have been the best day ever.
Speaking of the manager, let's check in and hear what Ole had to say in the post game.
First half, I thought we were excellent. I thought we played the game plan perfectly. And then second half, they changed a bit. Of course, they put us under pressure. But we could have scored a few as well on the counter. But we've got a good couple of centre-backs there, good back four. And David in behind was unbelievable today.
11 saves in one half of football is quite extraordinary.
I should have held a couple.
Cheeky from the manager, Ole. Should have held a couple, sir. I mean, he said it right there. First half was great. Masterclass. Second half, Swiss cheese, mate. And as long as you got David De Gea.
I like that, though, right? I mean, what would Moyes be doing if he somehow squeaked out this result? But Solskjaer, he demands perfection, even from the best goalkeeper in the world. You got to agree with him, bro. We could have snatched a couple in this second half as well. I mean, Pogba could have had a brace in the second half alone.
We probably could have had one. Spurs could have had three, could have four. You know, it could have, would have,
should have been a high scoring game that I think a lot of us predicted. I got a shout out to my father-in-law. I told him to bet the over, William Hill. I think he lost money on that bet, but all things said that there could be a lot of goals that day, but hey, I'll take 1-0. 1-0 back on the menu.
Hey, as long as you got Dave saves in net, anything is possible. And on that, let's hear from the man himself.
Every save is important, especially if we won the game even more. So I'm really happy about my performance.
What do you feel has changed?
Well, the players are happy. You can see on the pitch. They play with aggression, with passion, like Manchester United. We have to do like this, attacking football, creating chances. And this morning,
sir, the players are happy. They sound happy. And after a result like that, there's no reason not to be happy.
Dude, and modest. I mean, the Spaniard just keeping it cool. Ain't no thing. My saves only matter if we win the game. And sounds like Amanda wants to stay as well. He sounds happy. Sounds like he's good in a good mood. Just wants that big old check. Eddie, just do it. Make him the captain. I would think he has to be the captain of Manchester United. Clearly the next coach or our coach will decide. I think maybe who... That's a good question. Who would Ole make his captain? De Gea or Pogba? What do you think?
I don't know. That's a good spot question. It depends. Let's see how the next couple of games play out. Let's see who rises, you know, what cream rises to the top, bro, because
it's got to be Pogba, right? Ole knows it, right?
Pogba's more outspoken, right? We've all seen those videos over the World Cup of him in the dressing room in France getting everybody revved up. We saw it one of Ole's earlier games when he first took charge of him in the tunnel, just like getting everybody revved up. I think De Gea is like a silent leader. You know, he's like... he gets fired up when people screw up in the back, let chances that shouldn't be happening. And he yells at Phil Jones a lot, appropriately so.
Needs to be yelled at.
But Pogba, I think, is like probably the captain just because he's your six, he's your midfield dynamo, and he's also just like the guy who's going to – he's the talker more so than De Gea.
Yeah, I mean, but – he's high beta, man. That's like giving your captaincy to Odell Beckham. You don't know where he's going to be on Instagram in the offseason. All right, let's hear from the opposition manager. And this is an interesting one because Poch, he is the favorite, or at least a lot of people believe the favorite to replace Ole. Probably was the favorite before this game. But again, interesting to hear what he has to say after the match. Let's jump in here from the Tottenham manager.
And today I am happy. For me, I think it was the best 45 minutes that I saw Tottenham play after 4 years and a half on charge.
Best ever 45 minutes?
For me, yes. I think for me, yes.
Wow, so Poch is going out and saying best half of football he's seen from Tottenham in 4.5 years. Maybe he's trying to audition for Manchester United, saying, hey, after 4.5 years, you'll have this type of football. And if you have Dave saves in our net, we'll be fine, right? We'll be scoring on Lloris. Those goals would have went in against Lloris. I hate to say he's a great keeper, but it would have gone in. World Cup winner.
I don't know if, I mean, maybe there's another one or two goalies that would make those saves, but I think it's a very, very short list. And I think it might just be a list of one. But Poch with some bold words, bro. Best performance in his 4.5 years as manager. I mean, they were lights out in the second half. They should have scored at least 2 or 3 goals against a normal keeper. But that being said, we gutted it out, bro, and had a great victory. But he wants the job. I mean, he wants the job.
Yeah, no, clearly he wants the job. I think it's going to be interesting how Levy plays a part in this because he's going to try to lock him down. And I know Levy doesn't want to spend money, but he's thinking about giving, you know, Poch a little more power at Spurs. It's kind of the article I read counter, probably from the Spurs side of things, is that they want to give him, you know, controls over transfers. Levy will probably have to concede a budget to him. I mean, they're doing well. They got that Champions League money coming in, and that's something they did not expect. So I think they're going to do everything they can to keep Poch. But again, Manchester United, there's only one Manchester United. So I have to think he would want to leave if he had the offer of the job, right?
Mate, the little boy inside of him is screaming out right now because at the end of the day, Spurs are a cheap club, bro, and cheap is cheap, and they'll always be a cheap club. They'll give him a kitty, right? We'll give you £50 million a year.
He wants to do everything they can to keep him, though.
They will. He's under contract 2022. Levy is a pain in the ass. So, I mean, that's also another barrier to entry right there. Is like if Ole continues the good performances, let's nick an FA Cup. Let's get in the top four. They're going to be like, well, I can either negotiate with Levy and get a buyout of Pochettino, or I can just, Ole is like eager to go and I can probably sign up for half as much.
There you go. You have it there.
I mean, we know the board, sir.
So, look. It's good that we're even having this debate that Ole's doing so well. And options. It's unbelievable. 6-6. If he wins a 7th, that's a record in the Premier League era. No manager's come in and won 7 straight. So, I mean, it's working. And when it's working against, people say, oh, well, he never didn't beat anyone. Now he beats Spurs. Now how long can you do it? It's kind of interesting. But this is going to be a really key month. Crux of the biscuit. A lot of key fixtures coming up for Manchester United. Let's get into the stats side of things on the match reaction. Possession. Spurs 61% at home to United's 39. Shots on target. Spurs had 11 to United's 8. But we had that one goal.
And all 11 of those shots were in the second half for Spurs on net. So they had all their chances in the second half. And that being said, it's like if this was a Mourinho performance, we'd have like 2 shots, right? The Liverpool game where we lost 3-1. I think we did have 2 shots. So we had less of possession, but we did have good chances.
Goal differential under Ole. It's unbelievable. We were even or negative under Mourinho. Unbelievable, mate.
Sir, I'm buzzing, mate. Well, what's not to like? Ole's my man.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has equalized Matt Busby's all-time record of winning his first 5 games in charge of Manchester United. So, I mean, unbelievable, sir. I believe it's 6, but that must be the record, right?
No. So he's won 6 games in a row, but it was 5 league games.
5
league games. Busby's first games were all league games, which is why the record is the record.
There you go. 5 for 5. And Manchester United have kept back-to-back clean sheets in the Premier League. They'd only kept 2 in their first 20 league matches this season. So good to see that 0 on the board. De Gea is my fantasy keeper locked on every week.
We know, sir. He tells about us every week.
Murdered. So, you know, hey. Tough times in fantasy. Manchester United's Marcus Rashford has scored in 3 consecutive Premier League games for the first time in his career. Rashford is red. Unbelievable stuff from the kid. I really think he can go places.
Is he on your fantasy team?
Just picked him up this week, sir.
You and me both, bro.
Unfortunately, Captain Martial.
Is he going 4-for-4? I think 4-for-4 against Brighton on Saturday, sir. What do you think?
Probably not. But hey, it's a shame they only let you have three players on your fantasy team from one team.
That's all I think I'd have the whole team would be United players. Just go. I'm going long at the moment. And Paul Pogba, which is unbelievable, has been directly involved in 53% of Man United's 15 Premier League goals since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took charge. 4 goals, 4 assists. Dude, that sounds like captain material. He's playing lights out at the moment.
Yeah, it sounds like no Mo Mourinho material, sir. Pog is hashtag Pog back. Who cares? I'm glad to see he's playing well. And, you know, him just making that extra effort in the box and those passes, really seeing what he's made of. And we were like, where's the Juventus Paul Pogba? Where's the vintage Paul P? Why is he record signing? We are starting to see it. So let's hope consistency is the key with him. Let's hope we can be consistent. And David De Gea made 11 saves in this match for Manchester United, only against Arsenal in December 2017. We all remember that very well. Has he ever made more in a Premier League match? That was 14. This was the most saves he's made in a top five European League game while also keeping a clean sheet. So did a lot of work.
Stats point to otherwise, but this is why I called out this is a better performance than Arsenal. I know he had more saves in that game, but if you look at the chances that he had in this game versus that game, a lot of those chances were like outside the box, you know, just like they were very wishful thinking. These were like, these should have been goals, bro.
Point blank.
I mean, just pure reaction.
Sir, let's hear tomorrow's Daily Mail headlines today, sir. Oh. Are these spicy enough?
So I don't know if they're spicy. I don't know if they're spicy enough for how all the Manchester United fans are feeling around the world, especially our American Red Devil fans, a bunch of which we're going to hear in a second. Get ready for that. Battle of the trophyless bastards. Ole wins the battle, but Poch wins the war, sir. He got first blood, bro. He got first blood for the great competition of who gets to, you know, be the next manager full time of Manchester United.
Yeah, and will Poch win the war? It's kind of uncertain right now. If Ole, he's leading the hype train. Ole is the conductor wearing the hat. Front of the hype train, everyone's on it. I haven't heard one Manchester United fan say they won Poch over Ole, and we'll see how he does. It's half a season, so as much as Mourinho went sour, you never know with Ole. If he can keep it up with the boys, consistency is key. And there's gonna be tough patches. There's gonna be losses. We gotta bounce back from a loss, right? This is the first game we had to close out. How did we do? We held on. David De Gea, a big part of that. But it will be, when we lose that big game, can we bounce back? And that is a real testament to how he manages this squad.
And you made a good point. And I also want to call out some of the guys that did have hell of performances. You know, we focused on Rashford and De Gea because they were lights out. But, dude, Lindelof had a superb game. Herrera had a great game. Matic was very, very effective.
Lingard
was terrific as well. So, like, the boys are playing up for Ole at the moment for sure. But you're right. We're going to lose games. Losses happen. They're part of the deal. But it's all about how the team responds to the losses, how they come back from that. This game on Brighton is a big game because Brighton, they don't seem like a big team, but we need to get up for that game and get another 3 points at home and just keep the train rolling, bro. Choo-choo, that shit is going faster and faster.
Hit us with your next headline, sir.
And like Manchester, Rashford is red, dude. 3-3. The kid is
red,
like,
hot.
Number 10, he looks like your de facto starter, and I think Lukaku's got a lot to offer, but still, you're starting Rashford because he is red hot at the moment and looks undroppable.
And this is the biggest call that Ole has made. And I want to say is probably Lukaku had a little injury, had something to do with it, but he has picked Rashford over Lukaku in the number 9 role at Manchester United. That is a bold pick and it has paid off. Most people, you look at Lukaku, you look at the money spent on the man. He plays well for Belgium. Most managers would start him just because they...
And a scoring record. I mean, he's got a very good score record in the Premier League. Forget Belgium. That's against, like, our boys in the Jib and Liechtenstein. But, like, he has scored a lot of goals in the Premier League. But to have the gall to drop
him
for a 21-year-old who's, like, still rough around the edges, it's paying dividends.
As well as the tactics of Spurs, you know. Playing Jesse as a false nine, getting in and messing up with the diamond, Spurs' famous diamond. I mean, that's huge. It was a tactical masterclass in the first half, at least. And to see Ole flexing his muscle, his football tactics muscle, as well as his personnel, really interesting. And his turnaround the side. I mean, Mourinho was talking about rebuilding the whole team, getting rid of like half of it. And you have someone else come in, they have an eye for something, he implements it, and boom, off to the races, sir. Hit us for your next headline.
Last but not least, Dave saves Ole's perfect start. And if there's anyone who's going to buy a non-alcoholic glass of wine the night of the game, it was Dave Saves, bro, for bailing him out, best in the world, and keeping that hot start going.
Yeah, no, unbelievable stuff from the Spaniard. All we got to say, no one was talking about this, and everyone's singing his praises. Where's that new contract, Ed Woodward? That's all we should be talking about. Hey, we could lose him. Any club would pay out for him. I mean, he's going to have it. He has one more year after this one on his contract. If he wants to go, we can still sell him in the summer for a hefty fee, right? If he doesn't want to stay, it's completely up to him. Mourinho did make some cheeky comments in the press about it, said that he did want to stay and it was just the money. So, Ed Woodward, if it's just the money, pay that man, sir.
Sir, I mean, we're all, dude, the fans are fickle, right? We all want signings.
He can't leave.
We all want January signings. So let me make this one point. The most important thing that United could do right now is like lock down some of our key players in the January transfer window. Let's get De Gea on a long-term contract. Let's get Martial on a long-term contract. And let's get, I'm ready to give it to him, bro. Let's give Herrera, bro. He is absolutely useful. He's a very good player. So sign him as well. Forget, you know, as much as we love, I want Koulibaly.
We could use
skulls.
A defender.
We're not going to get it.
We could seriously use a defender.
Sir, we're not going to get it. It's
if
not
you
a smoke.
Watch the game,
we're halfway
be
through
like,
the month.
You could spend £40 million. We were worth £4.2 billion. The club's worth £4.2
billion. $150 million.
Get
you
someone.
Spend $200 million on Koulibaly.
You get
bro.
A few Greek guys at the back.
Who you
know,
got?
Whatever
who
it takes.
Who you got?
We'll take anyone off the shelf. Portuguese defenders, either way. We're going to jump into the American Red Devils. This has continued the fan reaction. These are the hot takes around the United States. And to kick things off, we're going to head to Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Merchants of Beer. Great bar, as from what I heard and what it sounds like in these recordings. These were sent to us by DJ Loop. He does the Humble Beer podcast. He runs the Twitter account for the Knoxville Manchester United fan club. Sounds like a riot. Let's jump in, hear what the boys have to say after the match.
Brandon Killen, Manchester United, Knoxville. 6 wins in God knows how long. I can't tell you how many times we've done that. Attacking football all the way. We got tired, but the defense held up. Dave saves.
Stuart O'Neill, Manchester United, Knoxville. I think this game proves we're finally back. First 5 games against weaker opposition. This game against Spurs, who are 3rd, we're finally back. We can keep Solskjaer now.
Chasen Newsome, Manchester United, Knoxville. I mean, 6 wins in a row, beating Busby's record, and just the way we're playing. I mean, Dave saves, obviously. Probably Dave's best match since the World Cup. Really been missing the clean sheets and these hard-earned matches. The best 1-0 coming into these matches, we're really being challenged more. And on to towards the Champions League months when we have such a hard stretch. And just gaining points in the table, gaining positions every week. Got to keep Solskjaer. This lineup is unbelievable. Everybody playing out of their minds. Great energy. Just a great match.
My name is Victor Gill, hardcore United fan. I said we were going to win, and we won. Fuck you, Randy.
Andrew Flesher, Manchester United, Knoxville. What a match today by the boys. They obviously are getting up to play for Ole. Everyone was running, working, moving off the ball, working back when we lost it. I thought Rashford was incredible. Dave De Gea, there's no words. The guy crushed 11 saves.
Forrest Clark, Manchester United, Knoxville. Absolutely incredible game. I couldn't think of a better way to cap off Ole's start. David De Gea is a wall and just played an incredible game. I think that Marcus Rashford is one of the best players in the Premier League. I heard some comparisons about him earlier in the week to Harry Kane. I think he's going to have a more prolific career.
Woo! What up, Knoxville, Tennessee? Amazing thoughts from the fans, the live take there. I don't know who Randy is, but fuck Randy.
Yeah, fuck
didn't
Randy's.
Think we're going to win.
Sounds like a scouse.
You guys enjoy it. Sounds like it'd be a blast to have some dark ales with you guys at the Merchants of Beer, sir.
Dude, Knoxville sounds like good fun. Looking forward to when the American Red Devils are eventually on tour. To be determined tour. Our wives kick us out of the house. We go on tour down to Knoxville, but that might be the first stop.
Absolutely, and we're going to check in with our next Manchester United fan group in Birmingham, Alabama. They hang out at Brennan's Irish Pub. Let's check in with Simon.
I think today's result is incredible for us. It's really fun to watch United actually go forward again. I think the last few managers we've had have all been defensive-minded, so the swap for Solskjaer and watching us go forward and, you know, finally keeping our second clean sheet in a row is a huge deal. I thought the De Gea was incredible today. You know, Herrera and Matic as well. The center of the park was very, very good. And then you know, you look at what Rashford's able to do on the counterattack and Pogba. Now that he's been kind of he's been kind of freed. I know Solskjaer coached him when he was
great young. Hot take by Simon. Sounds like an up-and-coming Kyle Martino, sir.
Sir, I think he's ready for his own announcer job. So like the hot take. Agree with him in the middle of the park, bro. It's like that midfield three, I think, is lights out.
Yeah, and seeing the boys unleashed. Pogba unleashed, getting forward, picking a pass, easy as you like. And let's check in with our next hot take. This is, I like this name, Newton Heath KC, Kansas City, recorded by Bo. He lost his voice screaming at the match. Let's hear what Bo has to say after the game.
Glory, glory, Man United from Kansas City. My name is Bo, and I'm one of the leaders of Newton Heath KC, the premier United group in Kansas City. Feel free to check us out on Twitter and Facebook. As you can probably hear, I have lost my voice from the game today. Without De Gea being an alien again, we lose this one. Spurs were dynamic going forward, and their one-touch passing really unlocked our defense. I'd like to know what Ole and Woodward will be doing in the transfer market to stand up a back line. Today we did resort a little bit to Jose Ball, defending and trying to counter, but a big part of that was how good Spurs are in the midfield. Once we did retain possession, Rashford, Lingard, and Martial's interchanging play was great again, with Pogba pulling the strings behind. Pogba again with another strong performance, could have had two goals out of him. Level on points with Arsenal, six behind Chelsea. Let's keep it going. Newton Heath KC out.
Only 6 points, top four, sir. Can we do it?
Tell you what, those Gunner fans are talking a lot less. Shout out to Bo with a good recap, bro. You don't need your voice to know what you know. You know what you know, bro. Well done. So, like the recap come from over there, because we got a lot of very well informed American Red Devil fans in the U.S., sir.
Yeah, and a great. I like Newton Heath KC. That's a great name,
good
Bo.
Name. Very
shout
good
out.
Name, Bo.
I mean, great to hear from the fans. We're trying to bring you guys the most authentic perspective of the American base. Not a lot of American fans get to be heard around the world as it relates to Manchester United, and we do a lot of yapping on this podcast, but we like
yapping.
To hear from you guys. So anytime we have a big match, we'll be reaching out to fan groups on Twitter, getting different thoughts, and getting your post-game match reactions, and feel free to send them to us as well.
Only providing more proof that Americans do know plenty about footy, bro.
Exactly. But, sir, we got to jump in with the Twitterverse. We got to hear what the internet had to say. A lot of crazy things on Twitter. Great highlights. David De Gea memes galore were blowing up. Bye, 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 David De Gea memes. Speaking of David De Gea, let's check in with his official Twitter account, @D_De Gea, the verified account. Quote, perfect night at Wembley. #MUFC. It was the perfect night. It was Wembley. Manchester United. Our second home, sir. Unbelievable from Dave Sips.
And just like David De Gea, he is red, bro. So he's the man of the moment. He's the man you got to re-sign. And he's all smiles. I like how Bo called him an alien. I think he's more like an octopus. You would think he's got eight arms and legs the way he's saving the ball.
Alien octopus, sir.
Just a hybrid. Just unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, and he's putting down the close for close sign every Sunday, sir. It's closed on Sunday for David De Gea, as per the usual. @VintageMUFC. Quote, Lindelof celebrating after Eriksen hits the free kick wide. Love this guy. Crying emoji. Hysterical stuff for Lindelof. I commented on the live feed. For those who didn't see, Eriksen hit the free kick wide. Nervy moment. And then Lindelof celebrates like, you know, full bore. Like he scored a goal. Cheeky from the Swedish defender. Really love this passion from Lindelof.
Well, they had two great chances almost from the same position. I want to say within like 7 or 8 minutes of each other. Both free kicks.
Lindelof
had like an immense performance up to then, right? De Gea made all these great saves, but Lindelof really had a standout performance in the back line. But why not celebrate like that, bro? It's like that game means everything to this team. They've worked so hard for it, and they deserve the result.
And when you're a Red, sir, you got to be showing the passion for the badge. You know, the mentality we always talk about. We did not see this, the intangible, right? We didn't see this under Mourinho, the players fighting tooth and nail to get those 3 points. And a huge 3 points it was. +263, sir.
Good money, sir.
Money
good
in the
money,
bank. Show me what you drink. @UnitedExtra, Yaya Toure, on Sky Sports. Quote, I think part of it is Pogba has more belief in his manager, and his manager puts himself in the situation. He's the type of player who wants to have that connection with his manager. Being trusted by him and telling him to push, feeling the love, right? And end quote for Yaya Toure. I think this is great insight. You see, Ole has been there. He's a club legend. He's won the treble. Telling Paul Pogba what to do, giving him that advice, something that he can connect with. Versus Mourinho, probably really negative.
Negative Nancy, you know. Bro. Negative Nancy. And Yaya Toure knows what makes a player tick, right? I don't think Mourinho ever was a player, and that's the difference. Because what did Solskjaer say in the week building up to this game, bro? He said that, like, Rashford has every ability to be just as good as Harry Kane. And in this performance, he outshined Harry Kane. Harry Kane probably should have scored a goal or two, but Rashford put in the performance, bro. Great finish, great goal, and just shows that, like, these players are terrific. They just need to be boosted up a little bit. Get those big heads, bro, so they can float over the defense.
And let's not forget, we got a lot of local lads on the side. They know this club. You know, they're not mercenaries. They wear that badge. It means a lot more to them than just that Chelsea crest. Hello, hello, hello. Chelsea success is fucking hollow.
They know how it goes.
All that money you took
from that big Russian crook, and you'll never win three in a row. 6 points, bro. We're coming for you, Chelsea.
Chelsea sweating on the text. We got a Chelsea fan shaking in his boots.
We just need a striker.
Yeah, he's like,
you need more than that, baby. You need more than that.
Hey, well, we got a next match, sir. This is a big one.
This is a big one.
Manchester United versus Brighton, sir. Brighton and Hove Albion at Old Trafford. It's at home. We did lose earlier to them this season away at Amex Stadium. The game will be played Saturday, January 29th, 7 a.m. Pacific. Get that automated coffee maker set. How are you feeling about Brighton, the Seagulls? It's almost like the perfect match.
Perfect storm, bro.
It's almost like the perfect match to draw. You know, if I was feeling frisky on the betting lines, I think draw probably pays pretty well.
It pays very well, sir. And this is the hard one, man. This is really the hard one. All the players are going to be coming down from an unbelievable high against a team that actually, I'm going to give you the stat in a second, they've had our number, mate. They've had our number since they've been in the Premier League. We've only won one of the last three in the Premier League. So obviously both of those we lost both at the Amex. We have one at Old Trafford, but this is a big game, bro, because we could easily drop points.
Dude, Glenn Murray, they got Dunk and
Duffy. The Seagulls, bro. You never bet against the Seagulls. I've learned you do bet with the Seagulls. I've made some good money betting against Arsenal with the Seagulls. But we got to be ready, bro. We got to put out a team that's going to go and not screw around, go for all 3 points.
We need three, and that's the new priority under Ole, is we only play for 3 points.
Draws are off the menu.
Brighton have had our number this season. They've actually had our number since being in the Premier League. We've only won one and lost two, with both losses having come at the Amex Stadium. We actually went to the Amex Stadium last year on our trip overseas.
Great, terrific gravy.
They got great fish and chips down the South
Coast. People are super friendly.
Yeah, super friendly. What are you doing here? Americans on vacation in Brighton, of all places. Lovely. Like, having a dark ale, going to a match. It was great. Rainy night in Brighton. But again, it's a nice stadium. Tough to play it on the coast, especially in the winter. It's had our number in the past, but coming in at home, we should do the job. The crowd should get us over the line. The passion of the fans, second and on right now.
Dude, Old Trafford, I would imagine, is going to be buzzing after beating Spurs 6 games in a row. But we did beat them at home last year. We won 1-0 off a Lewis Dunk own goal and beat them 2-0 earlier in 2018 in the FA Cup. So some results. We got to beat them at home, bro.
But we haven't played them with Ole at the helm.
Yeah,
with Ole at the wheel, how good is
it? I don't know if that 1-0 own goal result is that convincing. So this team has good players. So we get to go there and put a good squad out and execute, sir.
United are the most informed team in the Premier League at the moment. They've won their last 5 in a row, while Brighton have only won 1 of the last 5. Again, setting up for them to pip us. Easy as you like. Brighton are due. You know, we're due for a loss or a draw. Brighton are due for a win. And first match we ever played, the Seagulls, was a 1-0 win in the FA Cup in 1909. So, you know.
Did you take 1-0?
Yeah, I'd take 1-0, but I don't need to see Dave have 11 saves in the second half.
Yeah, I don't think he'll have 11 saves against the Seagulls.
Especially when the transfer window's open and Eddie needs to sign us as a defender. Speed that process up,
dude,
bro.
We can wait for Kubal in the summer, like, but we need somebody.
You cannot watch that team and be like, largely, oh my God, we could be so good.
Largely justified.
We need some defense. We need defensive reinforcements ASAP. You can't be worth the mo- We can't be the most valuable club in the world and not be thinking about patching the defense in January. Woody, you got to sign someone. I know you're not.
Who you got?
But I'm losing my mind over here. Sir, a little history about the Seagulls. Now I'm all fired up. Founded in 1901 and nicknamed the Seagulls. I mean, what kind of a nickname is this? You know,
they're on the coast. I mean, they're birds around. Like, it makes sense.
Bunch of seagulls eating your trash.
It's better than the Biscuit Men.
Great men. The Biscuit Men are probably the best. The Biscuiteers. Or Albion. You can call them Albion as well. Brighton have played their early professional football in the Southern League before being elected to the Football League in 1920. So a little late to the party here. The club enjoyed its greatest prominence between 1979 and 1983, right before I was born.
Yeah, missed that one.
I miss this great era when they played in the first division. They reached the 1983 FA Cup final, losing to Manchester United after replay, sir. And they are relegated from the first division in the same season. So you know when the best run of form you have is losing to the Manchester United in the 1983 FA Cup final, you're doing something right. Fans of the club, they consider Crystal Palace the main rivals. There you go, different bird. You know, they got to fight over that. Although the grounds are 40 miles apart. So
I thought that was interesting. Yeah.
No, it's interesting matchup. It's got to be the bird connection. Either way.
Bird on bird crime, bro.
If you're ever looking for a vacay, South Coast ain't bad, sir.
It ain't quite a Ibiza, but
they have a great stadium. I will have to say.
It's top notch.
When they say Amex Stadium, it's made of money. It is a great stadium. Not one of the nicest venues I've been to. Clearly haven't been to Spurs' new stadium. But I went to White Hart Lane back in the day when they played Liverpool, and that was a dump. White Hart Lane was a dump. It is no wonder they're rebuilding it, but they're late. They're late by half a season.
Very late, sir. Very late.
Get a little off topic. We have some injuries. We're going to check in with thephysioroom.com. Short list, sir. Very excited to see
that's
that
good
sign. This is short. We got Sanchez, hammy. January 19th, he may return. Slight doubt. Obviously, for the Brighton game. Rojo, a knock, no return date. Something tells me he's not going to be featuring for Manchester United.
He's in Argentina, like,
ever again.
Right now.
I think
you don't think ever again?
He's been on here. He's been a knock, no return for, you know, I think this might be kind of a goodbye. And then Chris Smalling, his foot, like we know, should be back January 19th. Slight doubt. Love to see Smalling come in at the Brighton match. Don't know if it's going to be a race for fitness. And Sanchez, it seems to be a little more serious, so I don't think he's going to get back either. But again, full squad, sir. Lineup-wise, who do you got?
Sir, I got David De Gea in net.
No way.
Who else you got? I think I'm thinking Lee Grant.
After that terrible performance, sir.
David De Gea in net. I'm going to do a back four of Dalot, Lindelof, Smalling, and Young. And I'm going to do a midfield three of Fred, Herrera, Pogba, Rashford, Lukaku, Lingard. I know Matt's just playing lights out, but want to give Fred some minutes and give Matic a blow before Arsenal.
Sir, a lot of changes from Alex's starting 11 here. I'm going to change less, sir. I'm going to say Dave saves a net. I'm going to do Valencia, Lindelof, Smalling, and I'm going to say got to play Young. I like to see Shaw come in. I'll play Young. I think you got to do Matic, Herrera, and Pogba, and then you don't change anything up front. Martial, Rashford, Lingard. I think that is you could change less, in my opinion.
It's working. I mean, I think I was being a little too clever for my own good, sir. We'll see.
You never know.
You
can't underestimate a team like Brighton coming into Old Trafford. They've had our number. They're not a bad side. And here's the thing. They play up to their competition. That's one thing Brighton does do. They've beaten top six sides frequently in their short stint in the Premier League, and they are to be feared. And actually, we saw them play QPR on a Friday night 2 years ago, if you recall, and they were in the championship when we watched QPR play Brighton the season before they came up with the EPL, and they were lights out. I think they were second in the league at that point when we saw them smoke QPR.
A lot of dark ales that night, sir.
Loftus Road, great stadium. If you're in London, and you're up for a championship match. Still fun stuff. We love Manchester United, but it's also nice to kind of check out the other matches, other stadiums when you're in town. And QPR, Loftus Road.
It was an experience.
They have some interesting dark ales.
Like
they served out of a bucket.
It was like Castle Black.
I think we went to go buy a beer from the stewards, and they like literally dipped a pitcher in a bucket.
It was like a frat party, bro. It wasn't cold.
It was a warm dark ale. Yeah, it was great. QPR, enjoy it.
Yeah, meat pies, though.
Sir,
top-notch.
You know, because we're some degenerates on this pod, and we've been known to place a bet, we're going to jump into the segment Booking the Bookie, talk about the odds for this match. United to win at home, plus 130, paying pretty good if you're feeling frisky and the line hasn't moved. United 130 against Brighton.
It's pretty
good.
Not
bad.
Actually,
I might take that. And like I mentioned before, you might spread a little bit on the draw, sir. Seems too good to be true. 6-6. Everything has gone our way. Our luck has to run out. It even ran out for Fergie sometimes on runs. You get draws. Ball bounces against you. Maybe you get a penalty. Goals offside. You never know. Hey, you know, spread a little bit on the United to win and the draw. I don't think Brighton's going to beat us, though.
I don't think they're going to beat us. I think the draw is more likely, but it definitely feels like this is too good to be true, guys. I mean, we haven't lucked out that much, have we?
We have not, but Brighton is a hefty plus 1,100 to win. I know I'm throwing so much shade at our friends on that text thread. They'll probably be betting Brighton to hoping the wheels fall off the bus for Manchester United. They got to
lose their money.
Sir, now that you know where the bookie stands, what is your prediction? I have no doubt.
Sir, I'm calling it 3-0, bro. 3-0 is back on the menu, and another clean sheet on the trot.
Three clean sheets in a row, you think so?
I'm going full gumption.
I'm going to say 2-1 to Manchester United. Shaky stuff. We kind of get a late winner, similar to the Bournemouth away. Rashford probably getting one or two. I could see the brace. Pogba
like
with
that.
On the assist. I'd like to see Jesse get a goal. He's due.
He's due. I want to get Luke back on the field. I want to get Sanchez up and running again.
We don't need Lukaku on the field so fast, sir.
Sir, we can sub him in, bro. He's still dangerous.
Lukaku? What?
Yeah, big Luke, bro. He ain't going nowhere.
No. I'm a Lukaku fan. He came on the last 20 minutes. What do you think of that performance?
It was hard because when we get the ball, we either rush it. Didn't feel like we had the same care with it. We were just trying to lump it out of our third. But he did all right. Sometimes he had some good headers. He was fighting his header while putting a different element than he was facing with Rashford with just pure pace. So he did a job.
No, I think he did a good job. I mean, didn't score a goal, obviously didn't get the job done in that regard, but he kind of bullied Tottenham. I'm sure he had specific instructions like we were talking about what he should do. I think he affected the game when he came on. And, it's just one of those things where I don't think he could affect the game as well starting in that formation, right? I do think he would hold us up. Him coming on the last 20 minutes, always dangerous. I think always dangerous, but I think the boys were gassed by that point, so he wasn't getting a lot of service.
No,
so
he wasn't.
Can't really read it.
He wasn't. It was just it's hard context because they had all the ball, and at that point we were in survival mode, and we were just trying to eke out the win.
Hey, but speaking of defenders and attackers and midfielders, any world-class players we can sign, it is the January transfer window, and there's a lot of muppetry out there, sir. You have gone through it all. You are the head scout at American Red Devils. Tell us what you're seeing in the press. Any legit rumors? Are these all BS?
Ooh, I hopefully one or two of them are legit, but the first one might have a couple of poop emojis, sir, because it smells like BS to me, but apparently Manchester United are very interested in signing Yannick Carrasco, the player's wife has revealed to Talk Sport. Carrasco, the former Atletico Madrid winger, is reportedly keen on a return to Europe with United, Arsenal, and Milan keeping tabs on him. He plays on some low-rent team in China, bro. I think I am a no-go on Yannick Carrasco.
So you know what this is?
It's going to be a pass for me, dog.
This is literally, if you're a Manchester United fan, you read all these articles online. It's literally copy-paste with the player's name. It's Manchester United are very interested in saying Yuri Mina, according to the player's wife. It's just you could insert any name, any prospect, any defensive player up and coming, and just put Manchester United. That's literally what we're reading. I think last week it was two other guys that we were linked to. Can't remember their names. Now we got Yannick Carrasco. So,
sir, talk sport,
this is
bro.
Five
that's
poop emojis.
Four.
This is not going to happen.
Next piece of news. Napoli manager Carlo Ancelotti, I should not have pronounced that name, insists Manchester United transfer target Kalidou Koulibaly is happy to stay in Italy despite being the victim of recent racial abuse. Yikes, according to the Manchester Evening News. But Ancelotti's on the defense because he knows that somebody's after his boy Koulibaly, and that somebody is Manchester United because that's our top target, bro. That's our top target, fellas. I mean, market now. I don't know if we're going to get him. They might play hardball. They might want $150. I mean, people pay $150 for Coutinho.
I don't know. This is, it looks good from afar, but it ain't nothing. As far as Manchester United is concerned.
No new news. I got no new news.
No, I know, but Manchester United, we're interested. He wants to go. Nothing's happening. There's no movement. There's no urgency to sell by Napoli, especially with the shift he put in against Liverpool. Unbelievable from Koulibaly's perspective. But again, look at the summer. Harry Maguire, mate. What happened to him? Now we're not linked to Harry Maguire. Kalidou Koulibaly, this could just be the rumors for clicks here for the press. And maybe United were putting out some stuff. But as far as what I think, this is not going to happen. And in the summer, could be a brand new defender, new prospect, up and coming. You never know.
Could be. I think they legitimately rate him. I don't think it's going to happen in January. And I don't think anyone's going to happen in January after we splash the cash.
Can you believe that, though? Why, if you look at this team, you look at the potential we have, we're going for top four. It's worth top four in its own right is worth, 100, 150 million pounds as far as the TV to Manchester United. Why wouldn't you buy a player to help the team now so we have a better chance to make it to the top four? It's if you're running a business, this is clearly the best business decision. There's clearly a void. You can see it week in, week out. I mean, Woodward's watching the games. I don't understand why they aren't on their horse trying to negotiate for some prospect, $40 million, $40, $50 million, get someone.
Sir,
just
let's
a
get,
body.
Let's get Eddie on the horn, bro. What's up? Someone. So
but
right,
is there any excuse? Is there any reason why you wouldn't do it if you were running this
no
team?
Value in the market. I mean, no value in the market would be one thing, right? Everyone wants, like, over the odds because they know United is looking for a defender, right? You're getting quoted, like, $70 million for a prospect kind of player. So that could be the one thing. But at the end of the day, it's like, if there are the big players you want, I think you just overpay for the really good players at this point. Because we're a couple players away, bro, from being like, I think, you know, a team that could contend for the title, bro.
With the right manager, sir, speaking of the right player and the right manager, we'll get into that in the United of the News. First article per the Daily Mail, sir, your favorite publication. David De Gea waiting on £300,000 a week before signing his new contract. And he does want to stay, sir. What do you think about this? You feeling good about De Gea and the fact he might sign a new deal?
That's it. That's all you want. $300K. That's it. I mean,
$450.
We can fundraise
should
that
be
between
a dollar less than $450.
Between Manchester United fans, sir. Like, gladly, just sign him up. 5-year deal. He's 28. He's the best goalkeeper in the world. He's the best player on our team. This is a no brainer, bro.
Easy as you like. Next article, per the Daily Mail, again, suited and booted. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer orders his Manchester United players to wear suits before matches like Sir Alex Ferguson. Stepping his game up, sir. The boys should be wearing suits coming in off that bus, wearing that crest on their jackets. Unbelievable stuff from Ole. Just going back to the roots. Going back to the roots. Ain't broke, don't fix it.
And that's a title, bro. I gotta get my work. I gotta do some work on my title.
Suited and booted. I mean,
like
that's spicy.
I like it, bro. I can learn from the Daily Mail, apparently.
You gotta read a few.
But that's a good move, bro. I mean, that's a good move. I like that. Old school. It makes you realize that it's an occasion. It's an event that you have to get up for. You get dressed for it because it's... Dude, you're getting dressed for it. It's a serious event. Put your suit on, bro. We got a game to play.
And next article, per CNBC, business angle, Woodward focused on the commercial side of things, not necessarily getting us the defense we need.
Yeah, where's that director of football?
Open 3 experience centers in China by the end of 2020. And so this is a big deal because in China they have over 107 million followers. I think United in USA maybe is around 5 million. Just to put in perspective, you know, if you were to go by Facebook maybe. Page likes, something along those lines. But, I mean, China just... Manchester United dominates China. So enjoy it, Eddie. Go over there, get some photo ops, but just make sure to sign us a defender. Make all the money you want, but just sign us a defender. Next article, per the Telegraph, Red Bull to offer Paul Mitchell role of head of global football as Manchester United step up search for technical director, per the Telegraph. This is, of course, Red Bull Leipzig.
This guy's legit. They're playing attacking football, and he's got a connection to Tottenham because he spotted Mane, he spotted Trippier, he spotted Alderweireld, and he also helped smooth the move from Dele Alli from MK Dons. So he had a relationship with Pochettino. He is a hell of a scout, and apparently he's, like, top of the list because he's a Manc as well.
There you go. Well, if you're a Manc, then Leipzig in Austria, don't worry about it. You're done. This is the original.
Come to Manchester, bro.
This is the original New York Red Bulls. There you go. On the other side of the pond. Next article, per the Sun, Solskjaer in pole position for Manchester United job after dressing room visit from Ed Woodward. I have not heard this one, sir. Quote, the executive vice chairman went to Wembley dressing room after the 1-0 victory against Spurs to congratulate Solskjaer on the job he is doing. The Old Trafford power brokers initially
power brokers.
Only had Tottenham coach Mauricio Pochettino in their sights, but Ole has turned that around. Sir, it's like too much hype train, man. Someone's got to be like, take a look at the bigger picture. You know,
slow down. You just go slow.
You got to slow down.
Get the director
Ole.
Of football in. I agree.
I just don't want to jinx it. This is like the hype train is too full. It's going to tip over.
It's just
too much hype train.
Dude, the rails are going to crack. I mean, it's true. We just have to calm ourselves down. We're all excited. We're all excited about what we're seeing. But you need to get the director of football in first because you're going to need that no matter what, right? And then you deal with the coach and see where Ole is in 60 days.
Yeah, but they don't do it like that. But you know what they say?
Emotions.
The best ingredients for food is hunger. So the best ingredient for a coach coming into a club is hunger.
This
we were hungry,
bro.
The fan base was hungry for something excited about, a win, a manager they can get behind, and we finally have it. So if Eddie takes it away, we are going to burn this mother down.
Especially if he keeps winning, like, right? If he like, blows, if they start playing ugly football, but it's going to be really hard to not keep Ole around because I think the fans – are always going to back him. Always
yeah, but
give
the fans don't know what they're talking. So here's the
fans don't know what they're talking. Well, there you go, sir.
Speaking as a
tell
fan.
Me what you really think.
Speaking as a fan. but we don't. We just.
We don't.
We're
we
just,
really
we're,
don't.
We're generally just like banter.
yeah, boil it down, bro.
You know, but it's one of those things where if Ole makes the top four and they give him another deal, like say they're going to have to give him a year, right? You got can't give him more than a year. You have to say, hey, we'll give you another year.
They'll give him six.
You can't. You can't do that anymore.
You should give him like one or two.
So you give him another year. I guarantee you if he makes top four, they'll probably give him the job and then he'll be – he won't make it the end of the rest next season.
That's right? Your now you're making that that's your guarantee.
No, I think if he makes top four, I bet you we'll ask him back and that'll not work out, and then we'll have lost out on Poch. That's the risk, right? You have to think about the risk here, right? If he like wins silverware and gets top four, maybe gets third, you know, I think you keep him, maybe sign a multi-year deal, but I just think getting that four spot squeaking out probably isn't good enough to get the extension, because you got to think Pochettino builds clubs, dude, from the youth to the tactics to the scouting to, I mean, there's a lot of things he has his hands in involved, and he's done it in multiple clubs over a decade plus, two decades probably. So, you know, you got to go with that versus Ole 6 months, right?
He builds clubs, but we've already been built, bro. We didn't need to be built. We're Manchester United. We just need to play the Manchester United way. We need to play youth. We need to play attacking football, and we need to play pragmatic and when it can be exciting football, bro. So like, let's see how he does this season. Let's see how he shows because I think he got outclassed in the second half, bro. We got saved by De Gea. His tactics weren't like perfect, right? Because like you wanted a Flaney in that position to just go and just break down house, and we didn't have that, and he left on the bench because he's like he thought he can use a Piera when he didn't really need a Piera in that instance. So let's see what happens, because like he has to learn from that and show us that he's gonna be able to learn from these situations where he might have gotten the better of. But we got luck on our side, bro, and the wind is below our wings, and shit, we are flying, sir, flying. So let's just keep it up right now. Let's not make a decision yet, and let's just reevaluate in say a month, 2 months.
Yeah, but the one thing that you did say that does destroy my Pochettino point, and I do agree with, is that when we get the director of football in, the manager's role is kind of shrinking, right?
Yes.
You saw Sir Alex was this big figure, had like Pochettino had his hands in all these operations, scouting, you know, contracts, renewals, like basically he didn't do the training, outsource that, but the tactics, he did so much at this club, and then eventually the manager is really just gonna be like training and tactics, right? And the football operations are going to be done, like you said, bringing in a professional director of football who's going to deal with all that. And a Pochettino can be more like a Sir Alex in that role, having his hands involved in so many parts of the club. But Ole might fit the new role at Manchester United, which is really just like getting the boys up for a match, playing the Manchester United way. And he clearly has excelled at that.
He has, and the fans love him. And at the end of the day, bro, is like Spurs needed a coach like that, I think, more than we do. I think if we get the right director of football and administrative level, that will go a long way. But like that club, look at the difference they've made in the last 4.5 years. I know that, you know, technically they're above us, but like that club is coming from like a much lower standing to now that they're like they're perennial top four under Pochettino, whereas we are Manchester United.
And they choke, and he in his
losers, bro.
And
they're losers.
He seems okay with choking. Like I've watched Pochettino's interviews, especially with the league loss. We lost the league to Leicester. He seems too coy, too okay with choking, and that might kind of go through with the players why I don't win. So Ole at the helm, enjoy while it lasts. Hey, if he puts up numbers on the board, ain't broke, don't fix it, Eddie. Jumping in fan questions, Pete from Boise, Idaho. Quote, Ole has gotten the team to 6 wins on the trot. How long do you see this run going now that we're past Spurs? What's your over-under, sir? If you had to put a number on it, say, you're going to get to 10. I think Ole's going to get to 10.
I think Ole gets to 10. I mean, I think we got some games coming up.
I mean,
if the team is legit, if he's real, for real, we should win these next games because we've got winnable games. I mean, Spurs are the one that if he lost, you don't have bad blood.
No, I mean, absolutely. But, I mean, you have to look at it, and we have Brighton coming up Saturday in the league. Then we have Arsenal in the FA Cup, which, you know, is we gotta go deep in the FA Cup. That's a must win, I think, for Ole. That's kind of proven out. Again, the big sides. Then we got Burnley, Leicester, Fulham, which we're going to, and then PSG and Liverpool. So
they're all winnable up until PSG, sir. Very winnable. I mean, Arsenal, we're much better than Arsenal. And all those teams, Brighton,
at the moment,
Burnley,
we are. Unai Emery's drowning.
No, he is, because that team.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're doing.
Count anyway. Chocula over there, bro.
They're all winnable games, right? So that would be 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And we're getting ahead of ourselves, of course. You could easily
drop points of Brighton. Over under 7.5.
I'm taking
I think
the
that
over.
Arsenal
I'm taking
game,
the over.
I think that Arsenal game is probably the biggest bump in the road. Either way, I think we'll be interesting to see how the boys bounce back after their first loss under Ole.
It will be a bit, dude, it's inevitable. You know, it might not be on the weekend. It might not be when we go to the Emirates, but there's always going to be a loss, and that's just part of the game. We just got to show how you respond to it.
If you talk to some of these fans, sir,
never
we listened. Ain't listened. We never listened. But hey, we want to thank you guys. It's been a hell of a year being a Manchester United fan. It's been a hell of a year running this pod. Again, we always say we're a small time operation, operating from our couch. We bought a few mics. We edit the pod ourselves here. And we want to thank you for all the downloads. Record-breaking week for American Red Devils. We reached out to all the fan clubs. We got your takes on here. We want to continue to do that for big matches. But, hey, let's shout it out. Seattle, Washington, number one on the list. Seattle Red Army, looking at you. Thanks so much for the downloads. Number two, Austin, Texas. Then our hometown, San Francisco, California, sir.
What up? And America just like owning the blocks. The boys are back up. Brooklyn, New York, number four. Chi-Town.
Chi-Rack.
Number five, sir. What do you got, number six?
New York, New York. Trenton, New Jersey. Our home state, New Jersey.
Shireton.
The Shireton. Eight, Oslo, Norway, where all the hobbits come from, and the great Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Number nine, Houston, Texas, sir.
Last but not least, dude, L.A., Los Angeles, California, at number 10. We appreciate you. We appreciate all the American Red Devils fans that make this possible. Give us the positive vibes, dude. We're getting a lot of good feedback, a lot of good reviews on iTunes. We're getting a lot of good stuff on Twitter. We just appreciate it, and we're going to keep doing it, and hopefully the boys give us more good stuff to talk about, sir.
Yeah, and 2019 is going to be a big year for us. We're cleaning up the website, doing a couple of things for the pod. But in the meantime, we're giving away stickers, sir. We have our logo stickers. We're giving away for free. All you got to do is hit us with a review on iTunes. We're growing organically. That is how people find us, is good reviews on podcasts on iTunes. Help us out a lot. Leave 5 stars. Tweet us a screenshot at USA Red Devils on Twitter, or you can email us at American Red Devils, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, and send us your review. We'll give you a sticker. Easy as you like. Sir, it's great to hear that some of those reviews are hysterical. Some slaying Woodward, some loving the team, some hating Mourinho, but now that he's gone, ole, ole, ole. Things are great at Manchester United these days.
And those reviews, man, you know, if I'm having a blue day, I just go out and read those reviews, because they are truly great. They make me smile, make me laugh, and we appreciate it, because we got the best fans in the world, American Red Devils.
Yeah, and because we're a small shop, we want to let you guys know about our Patreon page, sir. We have 3 patrons of 20. This helps us out with editing the pod. Like we said, we funded these mics ourselves. We're a small-time shop, slowly growing, dude. We're getting a bunch of downloads, and we're a ways away from selling advertising. But in the meantime, you can hook us up on Patreon. You can find a link to our Patreon page at www.AmericanRedDevils.com. And, sir, we got a big trip coming up. In 23 days, the American Red Devils, we are on the road. Woo-wee. We are going to Fulham away. We are cheering with the away support, standing all 90 minutes, singing those songs. The last away game we went to was Sunderland away. Zlatan scored his last goal for Manchester United. We alternate home away every year. So Fulham at Craven Cottage. I am fired up, sir.
Whoa, that was your last game. Palace is my last game. Hopefully it's not
this
that
is true.
Nerve-wracking. Craven Cottage, bro. A little bit.
Game of the year,
part,
sir. You
part,
saw the game of the year.
I was very
2.
Lucky.
Unbelievable.
Very lucky. Hopefully we get another game of the year, because, you know, they score 10 goals. 10-0 at Craven Cottage. But can't wait for that. And we got our fingers crossed. We're in the draw for PSG. Moved our flights. Now it's just up to the gods, sir.
Yeah, Champions League night at Old Trafford. Have not done that. Would be a first. Next pod, we're going to be breaking down how we travel, where we stay, why do we do it, what's the easiest way to get tickets for the matches. We'll break that down if you're coming from the States. And as always, sir, it's been a hell of a ride this season. Started from the bottom, 6 on the trot. Buzzing all week, sir. Enjoy it, American Red Devils fans. And as always, sir.
Kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.